Romans 2, or Romans 1, verse 28. It's talking about, Paul is talking about the guilt of mankind. And Romans 1 is a sort of a process of showing how that guilt takes its course. And one of the stages is this strange verse in verse 28. It said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, did not like to retain God in their knowledge is a bad translation. I mean, it's super bad. What it means is that they put God to the test for the purposes of approving God, and then God did not meet the standard that they had set for him, and so they left God. You understand? Now, this is something I've never taught on before, because you're guilty of this constantly. You understand? They put God to the test for the purposes of approving God. God did not meet the standards that they had set, and so they departed. But it's the act of departing was the act that God did it. God caused them to be reprobate at the instant that they put God to the test. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep that thought in your mind. What I want to do tonight is to, this is not on the Holy Spirit. This is Bananas High Places 101. This is getting ready for the high place weekend. Okay? Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, as you know, there were 600,000 men 20 years and above that left Egypt. That's just the men. That's not including the young kids, the women, the old. Those were men of war. More than likely, there were 6 million people that left Egypt at the Exodus. Of those 6 million people that left Egypt, only two made it to the promise: Joshua and Caleb. 1 Corinthians 10, right in these next few verses, talks about the reasons that the others didn't make it. Now, we are not of those that believe in the various doctrines like once saved, always saved. We are of those that believe that you must constantly walk in fear and trembling, and that in that fear and trembling you work out your own salvation. So that there is never a time in which you feel like you've got it locked. You've got a lock. And the reason that hot seats are done is to give you a foretaste of what the judgment seat of Christ is about. Now, this time, we're going to look at a different approach, a different thing on these high place activities. Okay, now here he's chronicling why all of these did not make it. He says, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. In verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. That's another place, another example where they put God to the test for the purposes of them approving whether or not God met their standards. You got it? You understand? You understand what this stuff means? This is a biggie.
Yeah, I know what it means, but God is not meeting up my standard. Go
to Numbers 21:4. And they journeyed from Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Remember in the parable of the sower, and where the four different grounds. One of them was that in Matthew 13 that the seed was sown and there was great joy and they received it, but by and by when the persecutions arose because of the word, by and by they were offended. The persecutions arise because of the word. The discouragement arises because of the way. You can't get anywhere else. In other words, you can't come into any other position other than that. Okay, so now we've got a bunch of people who are discouraged because of the way. Now, what's the only reason you can be discouraged? Because you have a set of circumstances in the now that doesn't meet your image of what that set of circumstances should be. So automatically, the act of discouragement, the act of being discouraged, is an act of putting God to the test for the purposes of approving. You understand that?
No, I understand it. It seems like discouragement would be the result of doing that. I mean, being discouraged is some kind of
discouragement
of God or something.
Discouragement is the evidence.
It's the fruit of putting God to the test, or of having standards unmet.
But because of the subtlety of the serpent and the evil one in here, you will never say that to yourself. You'll never admit that. You're just discouraged because X, Y over Z or ABC or... But the only reason you can be discouraged is because you are putting God to the test for purposes of approving Him. Now hear me. We're going off on a totally different dimension here now. Are you, please, if you don't understand it, tell me now.
Like, discouragement in, like, in verse 4, because of the way, or like...
Just forget the verse right there.
But I mean, I'm trying to get my handle on discouragement, for one thing, you know.
Okay, depressed, discouraged, unhappy.
Things don't go the way you think they ought to go.
Do all of you agree with what I've said?
Yeah, well, the thing that's blowing my mind is this is the area I live in.
I don't think of it as putting God to the test. You know, though I shudder to say this, the way I think of it, sitting here, is that God doesn't even come into my mind hardly. Except, I mean, I would never say, God, I'm putting you to the test now. Oh, you failed. I would say, things are all screwed up. I guess I didn't do something right. Or, things are all screwed up. I guess God's doing something to me now. Or, things are all screwed up, just the way it should be, rarely.
They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth.
Okay.
This light bread. I'm talking about the manna.
So this is what he's referring to when they said they put Christ to the test, because here comes the snakes, right? Okay.
And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now, you have to recognize that there was a whole bunch of people that didn't do this. There was a whole bunch of people that didn't come to Moses. There was a bunch of people who sat alone in their closets in a state of discouragement, who never, ever, ever would consider speaking against Moses, and so they never said anything like, why'd you bring us out here? That was all in their minds. They never spoke it, but it was in their minds. And they all died. Because they had put God to the test, and they put Moses to the test for the purposes of approving, and both God and Moses failed the test. And they died. Now, the theme of this round of high place activities is going to be the fiery serpent.
Fiery serpent?
Fiery serpents. And the fiery serpent things are the things that are at such a core of control within you that there is nothing that you can do about it. I mean, these may have other dimensions in the high place activity. Let's look and see what happens. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent," and it's a brazen, we made it out of brass, "and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, yeah, I forgot, though. I'll have that answer for you. I don't remember, though.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty strange thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm having I hate to be a butthead in this, but I just have a terrific... for some reason, I can't get the concept at all. You know, I realize that to say things are all screwed up, to even say that, bang, you're already so far out of the way. You know, I recognize and agree with that. But for some reason, emotionally, I have no connection with God has failed my test now. You know, I mean, I can see how, like, linguistically we can, you know, get around that, but I know that's not what you want, mm-hmm. or, you know, big deal. So, I'm just over here. I know that I do that a jillion times a day, and I know it's the discouragement part comes along, and I see that, and I recognize it probably a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to jump from there to say, I have put God to the test and he failed the test, I can't say that I think
Okay, let's see if we can approach this from a different angle. Most of you believe that you're at some state of humility. I mean, you like to think of yourself as being humble. You know, you've got, I'm just a new believer, or I'm just a little guy, or I'm just this, or I'm just that, or I'll understand this someday, or I'm trying to understand it. Well, that's how you look at yourself with regard to stimuli or things that come into your life. The only way that this stuff that I teach makes any sense, can make any sense for you, is to know that you are not just this little sincere person trying to make it in the big wide world. You are, by definition, the mortal enemy of God. And that your sincerity about how you're just this little guy trying to do this and this and this is simply a cover. Romans 8 says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, for it is enmity against God. That means it's a mortal enemy to the death. And so as long as you believe you're just this little person that's running around doing stuff, just trying to make it, just trying to get by, just trying to come to Bible study to hear some stuff every once in a while, maybe get a little bit here, it'll help me in my life, you will never understand the dynamics of what this gospel is about. God views you as his mortal enemy. You're not just some little sincere piece of shit that's trying to get nice. You are the direct enemy of God. Now, can you hear that? And so all these little sincere little maneuverings that you go through with your mind about saying, well, this isn't a big deal, I was just discouraged. No, it is. It's a huge deal. Because it's the evidence that you've put God to the test and have chosen the God of this world instead of the God of Jehovah. Do you understand? Do you understand that it's a ploy? What Daryl just did, and not just Daryl, because everybody does it, but what Daryl just did is a ploy. Well,
see, I don't, you know, I mean, I don't remember how I phrased it or even the whole thing, but I don't particularly think of myself a little sincere guy. I think of myself as, you know, just a rag, basically.
Same difference.
All right.
Do you understand in the spirit that there is no neutral?
I'm not trying to reach a position of neutrality.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody. There is no position of you just being in a state of thinking about it. You can't ever see yourself in that dimension anymore. I mean, 90% of the time you think of yourselves as victims. That's all. You're just a victim of this big wide world. I'm not talking about you now. I'm just talking about people in general. Somebody's doing something to you, or got a ticket, or son of a bitch and goddamn holy. Oh, I'm a victim of the weather. Oh, I'm a victim of this. I'm a victim of that. Oh. That's a lie. Okay, we're in the wilderness. We've just gone through the Red Sea, and we've seen all some kinds of stuff, and we have a short memory. So we're all sitting around in our tents, and we're complaining. And we have all kinds of righteous complaints. Oh my God, do you taste that water we had today?
What? Manna again?
You know, I don't think Moses knows what he's doing.
I can identify with that.
Goddamn pan.
Every one of those conversations that are commonplace here are, from a spiritual standpoint, putting God, they're the evidence that you're putting God to the test for the purposes of approving.
Yeah.
And the reason that you can do that is because you can believe you're a victim. And as long as you can believe you're a victim, then you will never have to have all of the scriptures about zeal and revenging your own disobedience will never come into play. Until you can come to the fullness of the understanding that your mind is the evil one, and it is the mortal enemy of God, that it isn't in a neutral ground. It's not, your mind isn't Switzerland, I promise.
It might be Swiss cheese, but
it's not. Aren't you tired of being tossed all over the place by your minds? Well, the reason you are is because you give this land back, i.e. you say, I'm just a poor little victim person. You know, I wish things were different. I'm just being sincere. The reason you're being sincerely wrong is that you don't yet know the fear of God. You don't know what it means to walk in the fear of God. And so if there's no fear, then there's only the human mind going and playing all these nice little sincere games, trying to understand this stuff intellectually. The process is that you put God to the test for the purposes of what? Of approving him. God doesn't like you to do that, so he sends some snakes and they bite you.
He's always going to fail in your eyes, because just because, you know, the very fact that you're doing that means you're in the wrong ballgame already. You're looking at your circumstances.
It's like you're setting yourself up.
I don't think I'm communicating. Tell me something that you've complained about today. Anything. In your mind. Either in your mind or verbally.
I'm not feeling it.
Can you think of anything you complained about?
The light in my car was coming on. The light in my car, the light was coming on.
Can everybody think of at least one thing they've complained about? Now, I mean, if you made a list, which you're probably going to have to, then, you know, you might think of it. But can you at that same time think about complaining about that and say that this is what your response to that complaint should be? I have sinned, for I have spoken against the Lord. You understand that?
I understand.
Now, I'm not talking about, oh, sore, oh, bad, sore, complaining. I'm talking about little complaining.
Yeah.
I have sinned, for I have spoken against the Lord. You've spoken against him because you as the evil one have put him to the test, and the grade came in and you didn't like it.
There is a subtle difference between you suddenly put yourself as ruler of your own order.
Now, where this is going to have the greatest effect is you and someone else. If you complained the slightest about anybody,
oh, man.
Understand?
Mm-hmm. I really understand that.
Okay, what happens is, it's first, you're putting God to the test. In your mind, he doesn't meet the test, so you speak stout words against whatever. Then the next step is he sends the fiery serpent. And we haven't had any fiery serpents. Hmm? Have we?
It seems like the whole world is a fiery serpent.
Is that so traumatic that happens to you?
Yeah.
Right. This has, as always, two dimensions. In this one, the dimensions will be far more, they're far stronger, but far more hidden. The first dimension is that the things that you will complain about have to do with what you think you're being deprived of. And there are things in your life that you believe are so essential to life as you know it that you would give up everything for the sake of those issues. Now, in some people, like brother, it's easy. You know, would rather commit suicide, die, than gain weight. So she would give up her very life to meet this image. The problem is, once you have said, Father, I'm yours without condition, then you then are putting God to the test for the purposes of proving when you look at yourself. Yeah. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that stuff about, you know, just the idea of the potter body ball. Yeah, it's shitty service.
But, so my point to you is that those responses deep within your gut that are automatic are the responses that, you know, it's where you live. But they're the places that in truth you're putting God to the test for the purposes of proving. Your only salvation, your only hope, is to look on that fiery serpent. The brazen serpent.
Will you study more about the serpents?
Mm-hmm. Now, where is the core of your being? Where are you? The way you know it is if you're deprived of it, you'll go crazy. You know, and it's all mumbled. It's all jumbled together. It's not just a simple thing. Now, the reason that God puts us in a body of people where, you know, where there's just a small number of us is so that the people, other vessels know you well enough so that you, because these are the areas that you will hide automatically. You'll do anything but expose these. Now, and there the core, I mean, all the other, there's a whole lot of surface complaints that you might have about, oh, I don't, you know, I think it's too cold, or I think it's too hot, or this, or this, or this. But the core ones are two or three core programs that are the basis of the putting God to the test. Okay? Now, how are you going to find out what they are? What is it that bothers you most? One way is to be deprived.
Friday, like it was payday, and I was just freaked about it. I mean, the argument went on in my head all morning. It's like, it was such shitty pay, balanced against. God has proven over and over again that I never need to worry about money. I have no excuse to be out of the rut, but it's too little money. And then finally it was like, finally it was just so utterly revolting that the Lord came to. Forgive me, I'm gonna, but it was, I mean, it's a much bigger deal than being cold or whatever. I mean, it's a battle in my head to say, this is, I have no excuse to be unhappy about money. I mean,
well, does everybody at least have a thumbnail idea of what this fiery serpent stuff is?
No, what's it? Well, I mean, I got up to a certain point. I got up to the point where God says fiery serpent. What is it?
There, you're going to die.
Well,
it's
just
cruel. Well, either naturally or spiritually.
Well, it's kind of twofold. You complain and God says fiery serpent, and then you die, but then
Yeah. And you look on.
This guy, there's a fiery serpent.
If you look on the brazen serpent, then you will live.
Between the fiery
serpent, the saints, and the brazen serpent. Don't worry about it yet. You're not ready to get healed yet.
Yeah, I got to make a list of my sicknesses first. Got to get some symptoms.
I'll do that later for some.
No, what I want you to seriously do is to. We'll get into this far deeper because I want somebody else to make your list.
Oh. In here, though, right?
That's intense.
Whoa, really?
I thought I was kidding.
I like that. I don't think you will later.
No, that's wrong.
So to make a list of things that
I'm sick to death figuring it out.
I mean, you have to do everybody. There's one person that's assigned to you.
That's true. I almost have absolutely so sick of putting myself on a petri dish. It's like.
So
anyway, be thinking about this stuff. Study the brazen serpent. Try to search it out. Pray about it for a change. Ask for revelation. Ask to be apprehended by it.
What?
Nobody's going to complain about anything out loud now because they're
only... For the next month.
This brings the perversion of
Unfortunately, we've done plenty.
Remember that time in 1978 when you...
What do we need to do? Make complaining.
Everything's wonderful.
Everything's according to the perfect will of God.
But in 1972, she said... How about that rash in 78?
That's wild. But Liz and Matt didn't hear it tonight.
Okay, John.
So they're safe.
Yeah, let's not tell them.
No, don't tell them.
Right. Yeah, let's
yeah,
you
let's take them on Thursday night.
Yeah,
too.
Take
we
them
can
on.
Get them to whine about
it.
So. Yeah, take them on.
Thursday night, you sit down and go, does anybody have anything to complain about?
They'll never miss another Bible study.
No.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Somehow.
Let's just be open. Let's have a gripe session tonight.
We're going to air your complaints. Step into the beatbox.
Somehow the kids would buy that. I don't think
so to make it simple, whenever you're complaining.
You're complaining what you're doing.
To God.
To God, as you're saying, you're putting him to the test and for the perp, and you've disapproved him.
Yeah, you're saying you're already.
See, I can understand that. Once you say, just the simple part, God, you failed. No.
Look at this.
The hard part, because I was like all tripped up on. Never mind.
Yeah, it's humble.
I understand
that
God.
You bring it down to complaining. Yeah, I can understand.
But don't you see how many things that you excuse into gray?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because you believe that there is a, you're just this little person.
Mm-hmm.
You, to know that it's all or nothing is the only time you can have the readiness to revenge the disobedience, to have the zeal of the Lord's house. to see the incredible sin of putting God to the test. It's his good pleasure to give you all things freely.
Well, how do you know then that you're not doing it, as far as yourself trying to make things happen?
Either way, it's the same thing.
Even just think about it, you're
yeah.
It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Look, you're a hunk of protoplasm that has electrical and chemical impulses running around. I mean, and it, it doesn't matter what we think about those things. The fact remains that we act as if we had put God to the test and we decided we didn't want him, we're going to go look for another God. We're going to go God shopping.
Well, it'll make this situation better.
Yeah. Now, that's what you do when you have this belief system that if something were different, then, that's... What you're doing is you're God shopping. You went down to the God store.
Like, yeah, last night, yes, and in their household, they've got all their little gods on the walls, like posters in their house, with the one big, the god of that particular family, whoever that is, or god of the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's
God of the week.
Well, they do. In India, there are over 2 million gods in India, named gods.
Mm-hmm. And they go to the temple 4 times a day and pray to all of them. Kind of wild. That's a lot of work.
Okay, I don't feel like talking anymore.
So there you have it.
Everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
So have a weekend of whining,
right?
No, I
think
it's
anti-whining.
Whining and dining.
I think a lot of people will say something along the order of, I know I really shouldn't.